Shifting to the war in Ukraine, Russian missiles and drones killed at least 10 people in Kyiv overnight on July 1st into 2nd. This follows a pattern of intensified Russian air attacks on civilian infrastructure that has continued throughout 2026, despite repeated Western condemnations. The timing, just before America's 250th anniversary celebrations, carries its own grim symbolism for Kyiv's relationship with Washington.
The CSIS casualty study deserves real attention because numbers at this scale are hard to absorb. The Center for Strategic and International Studies estimates that total war casualties, killed and wounded combined, have now exceeded 2 million since Russia's full-scale invasion in February 2022. Russia has suffered approximately 1.4 million casualties. Ukraine's toll is estimated between 525,000 and 625,000. These are figures that dwarf every military conflict the United States has fought in the 21st century, and they underscore why Western support for Ukraine isn't an abstract geopolitical chess game. It's a decision with direct human consequences at industrial scale.
Ukraine has also taken a notable diplomatic step by telling the International Maritime Organization that Russia's shadow fleet vessels should be considered military targets. This is significant because it attempts to reframe the legal status of ships that Russia has been using to circumvent oil sanctions, tankers operating without proper insurance and registration to move Russian crude outside the Western pricing cap structure. By designating them as military targets rather than commercial vessels, Ukraine is signaling that it considers strikes on those ships legitimate acts of war rather than attacks on civilian shipping.
Poland's warning about a diplomatic rift between Russia and Ukraine is also worth tracking. Warsaw is concerned that internal tensions, including disagreements between Zelensky's government and some Western partners over negotiating conditions, could be exploited by Moscow to fracture the coalition that has sustained Ukrainian resistance. Poland has been one of the most hawkish supporters of Ukraine in Europe, so when Warsaw raises this alarm, it carries more weight than if it came from a more equivocal NATO member.
On Kazakhstan, the country has agreed to ship gasoline to Russia as a fuel crisis deepens inside Russian territory. This is a quiet but telling development. Russia, despite being one of the world's largest petroleum producers, is facing domestic fuel shortages because its refinery capacity has been damaged by Ukrainian drone strikes and because its export priorities have diverted product away from internal markets. Kazakhstan's agreement to supply fuel represents exactly the kind of sanctions-adjacent support that keeps Russia's war economy functioning.
And China becoming a net olefins exporter as the Iran war reshapes trade flows is another piece of this puzzle. Olefins are the petrochemical building blocks for plastics and many industrial materials. With the Iran conflict disrupting traditional Middle Eastern petrochemical supply chains, Chinese producers have stepped in to fill that gap in global markets. It's an example of how geopolitical disruption in one region creates economic opportunity and strategic leverage for competitors elsewhere.
The Iran situation itself remains volatile. Indirect talks in Doha between the U.S. and Iran ended without any breakthrough, and Iran's military followed that failure with explicit threats about the Strait of Hormuz. About 20% of the world's traded oil passes through that waterway. Iran's military describing any potential U.S. interference as warranting a decisive response is the kind of language that moves energy markets, and it suggests Tehran is calibrating its public posture carefully, signaling resolve domestically while the diplomatic channel remains technically open.
Vice President Vance's claim that U.S. strikes set back Iran's nuclear program by decades needs to be examined critically. Earlier intelligence community estimates suggested Iran would need roughly 1 year to build a nuclear weapon if it chose to weaponize. Vance's decades framing appears to significantly exceed those assessments. Whether that's a genuine updating of intelligence analysis or political messaging ahead of the 4th of July holiday is a distinction that matters quite a lot for how we should understand American strategic posture toward Iran.